Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to be together worshipping the Lord and to welcome you tonight. Great to just continue our series in the Gospel of Luke. If you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open to chapter 10. And we'll be looking at chapter 10 tonight. And I love chapter 10. I think it highlights two aspects, particularly the first part highlights really some practical ideas that Jesus gives the disciples in terms of mission. And then where I want to head tonight is this idea of living a joy-filled life in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that as well. You've probably heard of this scripture. From Nehemiah 8 verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." You believe that? It is. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's good to be reminded of that. And also good to be reminded that that verse was actually given out of a very difficult period of time for the people of Israel. They were exiled from their land. They'd come back. They were building the wall in Jerusalem. And they were being harassed in their building of the wall of Jerusalem. And so we remember that as we think of the joy of the Lord as our strength. I think it's a challenge, though, to be joyful in tough times. Do you find that? I really do. And I remember 20 years ago, and Mel probably remembers this as well, and just as we decided to go into church-based ministry, we decided we'd tell our business partner at that time we were going to do that. And so as we told him, he was not happy with that decision. In fact, he got really upset. He began to berate us, said, "That's the worst decision you're ever going to make," and really put us down. And when he left, it was a real shock to Mel and I, really upsetting that he said those things to us, and we didn't really know what to do with that. We thought we'd lose the business as a result of that conversation. And a little while later, we decided, well, you know, why don't we just bring a sacrifice of praise? We just begin to praise the Lord. And with tears streaming down both of our cheeks, we began to lift up the name of Jesus. It was a very special time. And as we did that, something changed in our hearts. This confident joy kind of just enveloped us. And we began to say, wow, this is true. The joy of the Lord is our strength, particularly in difficult times. Have a listen to some of these quotes from some well-known authors and Christian scholars. Henry Nouwen said this, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." Like that. And C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." You know, when we get to heaven, when we're with Jesus, it's going to be pretty joyful and joy-filled. And then Mark Twain said, "The healthiest response to life is joy." I like that idea. You know, as we think of joy, it's everything to do with the focus of our lives. In chapter 10, as we look at that, really Jesus calls us to focus in terms of this aspect. And I want to talk about four aspects in a moment in terms of joy. But first, let me unpack the first 16 verses in 1 minute. Ready? All right, first is what Jesus does is he sends out the 72 disciples. Now, one of the reasons I don't want to unpack this tonight is because a couple of weeks ago in chapter 9, he was sending out the 12, some similar ideas around that passage. And he sends them out in two-by-two formations in every town where Jesus was about to go. And part of this commission is to do two things: heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God, and find person of peace, a person who's open to the gospel and will welcome you. And then there's this idea of, well, there's actually going to be some people who don't welcome you. Shake the dust off your feet, move on. And then he begins to pronounce woes in verse 12 to three particular locations: Chorazin, Bethsaida, and also Capernaum. And they're pretty intense judgments that Jesus gives to them. And particularly those who would not repent. And it reminds us tonight that the preaching of the gospel, there will be people who accept that, and there will be people who don't, who will not repent. And for Jesus, there's no in between. It's either or. And that's the message he gets across. And then you'll notice in verse 16, I think I've got that on the screen there, you'll see that he said to his disciple, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And so that kind of forms, if you like, the backdrop of what I want to share now, which is the four areas of spirit-filled, joy-filled life. And here's the first one. Here's the first one, the joy of knowing Christ's revelation. The joy in knowing Christ's revelation. Verse 21 says, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from people who are wise and smart, but you've shown them to those who are like little children. Yes, Father, this is what you really wanted. Other translations put that as, this was the Father's good pleasure to do these things. And I reckon this implies that if people assume they're wise and smart by the world standard, actually God says he hides spiritual truths from them and that they have no way of finding Christ. Generally, we would classify that as someone who doesn't believe in the good news of Jesus. They're unable to see who God really is and who Christ really is. They need a revelation from God about himself and so on. And then the idea of little children is this kind of idea in the Gospel of Luke, tax collectors and sinners, ordinary people, and probably most referencing the 72 here sent out. Really, people who know they need God and they need to humble themselves accordingly. Verse 22, my Father has given me all things. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to tell, who the Son chooses to reveal himself to. I love that, the fact that God takes the initiative to reveal himself to people, just like you and I here tonight. And this is essential before anyone can believe, isn't it? Where the lights go on for someone who finds Christ. John 6:65 tells us this. This is why I told you, and he's talking to a bunch of people following him, that no one can come to me unless it's granted to him by the Father. You know, that's a great prayer to pray for people who don't believe yet. Hey, Father, can you open their eyes? Can you help them to come to Jesus? And we'll preach the gospel to them. For those in Christ, it is the Father's and Son's great pleasure to reveal this salvation plan to those who are humble and those who are contrite in heart. And we have this joy of knowing Jesus Christ. We live in the world today of fast internet, don't we? Some people might say, no, we don't, not yet. But we do. And there's many things we can know or learn about. And this week I was on retreat in a beautiful place called Binning Up Beach, just a bit past your place, Sam, in Myla. And it's a beautiful place, and I Googled a little bit about the town. And I got to learn a few little facts about it, and it was really interesting articles, some community things going on. But when I went to the Binning Up Beach Cafe, and look, the coffee was fair enough, it was good, and I went in there and I asked the local, where are the best places I can go to learn a bit more about Binning Up and see the best views? Well, she couldn't wait to tell me. She was passionate about that and her persona changed. And she just began to say, I love this place called Binning Up. And then Pastor Paul Bereker says this, that's what it means to know Christ. It involves much more than repeating facts concerning Christ or the Bible. Knowing Christ is an intimate relationship with him that changes your life. It changes your life? Does it change your life? Amen. And we want it to keep changing our life, that intimacy. That's the first one. Here's the second one, which segues into that. The joy of being an intimate disciple of Christ. Here it goes, verse 23. Turning to his disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings, they desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. I love to imagine just being just there with Jesus, walking the earth. What that would have been like for those disciples. Imagine He is speaking to you as one of his beloved disciples who's called you. And the prophets and the king, they had this messianic expectation. They wanted to see this happen, but they didn't see it. And so for us, every disciple on this side of the cross, we have this wonderful experience of being blessed by God and knowing Christ as Lord and Saviour. You know, as we serve Christ's mission in the world, I believe in this thing. As we continue to serve and as we commit more and more, I actually believe there's an increase of intimacy with our Saviour as a result. There's an increase of joy with our Saviour as a result as we continue to serve Him. You heard of David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, and his calling was very interesting. He sat in what was called the Aberdeen Music Hall listening to a service which was coming from the London Missionary Society. And when the service was over, he was looking at the team as they walked out the door, and the look on his face actually attracted the attention of the minister who was leading the service at that time. And he stepped quietly to the boy's side and with a smile asked, "My boy, would you like to be a missionary?" And Livingstone later said, "It was that smile that actually got me. It was that tender approach that actually got me, that made my final decision to serve Jesus as a foreign ministry." A.W. Tozer writes, "The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful." Love that. Do you want to? Let's hear that again. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. And I just think anything you can do this week, just smile. All right? I just want you to smile every day, even if you're feeling sad. All right? And to have the joy of the Lord. Just turn to someone and say, "I want you to smile this week. I'm going to smile this week. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to pray for you this week." All right? Keep smiling. May the joy of our intimate relationship with our Lord always be on our faces. Amen? All right. Here's number three. Ready for number three? The joy in seeing the power of the Lord. Love seeing the power. It's a wonderful thing. Seeing God move, seeing God answer prayer. And after being sent out, the 72 report back to Jesus and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They were full of joy. They'd experienced the power of God. The kingdom of God had come near. And they'd even seen evil spirits submit to the name of Jesus. What a joy. Jesus replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Isn't that a great good news for us? Very interesting words, but that Jesus uses here. Interesting. I was listening to a message by a Queensland preacher by the name of Wayne Alcorn. Great preacher. If you ever want to listen to him, I'm sure you can Google him, Wayne Alcorn. And he said about this passage, it's like as ordinary disciples go out on mission into the community in two-by-two formations, it's likened to a ground force assault on the kingdom of darkness. An enemy has to flee, particularly as they exercise the name of Jesus. And then as we think about that idea of trampling on snakes or scorpions, I wouldn't suggest do that in the physical, all right? But it's kind of a symbol for evil in the Old and New Testaments. That's kind of what he's talking about here. And he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." You ever thought how fast lightning is? Do you know how fast it is? I can tell you. I've Googled it this week, so Google doesn't lie. 4,300 miles per hour. No, kilometres, I should say. Kilometres per hour. That's pretty quick. It heats up to about 30,000 degrees Celsius. Holding a whopping charge of 300 million volts. That's pretty powerful. The name of Jesus is more powerful than that. Come on, it is. The name of Jesus is more powerful than that. And he says, we have been given this power over all the enemy who is unable to harm the believer. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it, to see the power of the Lord over the enemy. You know, occasionally we do what traditionally has been known as deliverance style ministry. Some of us are involved in that. We use terms, different terms, to unpack that, steps to freedom or release from demonic forces, whatever it might be. But we do that kind of ministry on occasion. And I remember being called to a house where a young man, in his own words and in his own mum's words, said, "I am under the oppression of evil spirits." That's what he said when we walked in the door. And it's quite confronting because he would scream. He was under duress. He was quite contorted in his physical stature. And you have to understand something, and I think this is really important for every believer to really come to a conviction of how powerful the name of Jesus is. And at the same time, that the demons and enemy is actually afraid of a believer who knows how powerful the name of Jesus is. You listening? You hear me? So it's really important we do that. And so as we ministered to the young man, occasionally he would stand up and he would just scream out. Whoa. And we just say, "Be quiet. Sit down in the name of Jesus." And he would. And it was just amazing to see God moving. Eventually that young man was set free because of the power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He is powerful. And he's still releasing people today. Shortly after, he was baptized to follow Jesus as Lord. Friends, there's power in Jesus' name. Come on, say to someone else, "There's power in Jesus' name." Do you believe it tonight?
Yes.
Whew. Come on. We're only at the third joy. There's one more joy to come. All right? And it's a beautiful thing when we see God's power that evil spirits must obey. And here's the fourth joy, the joy that your name is recorded in the book of life. Jesus said, "Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." You know, it's a truly wonderful thing when you see God move in mission, particularly if you've been slaving at mission for a long time and you see God come and break through. It's a wonderful thing. It's worth rejoicing in. But if you are in Christ, your name is recorded in the book of life. How good is that? Now, I'm going to take it one step further. I'm no Greek scholar, right, Conrad? But I know enough Greek to know this is a divine passive. Now that doesn't have to mean much except to say that it means that God has already done it. All right? Go with me. God has written your name in the book of life, providing you continue to stand firm in it to the end. That's part of salvation. If you stand firm to the end in Christ born again, he has no eraser. Isn't that good? You're not going to erase it. Your name's in the book of life. And there's a lot of old New Testament scriptures that speak of this. We're just going to quickly run through these. This is wonderful. In Exodus 32, it says, "A book that Yahweh has written." It's his book. Psalm 69, "You are enrolled among the righteous." Isaiah 4, "You're not recorded among the dead. You're recorded among the living." Ezekiel 13, "Registered in the house of Israel." Daniel 12, "Your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Good, eh? Your name, says in Philippians 4, is in the book of life. And Hebrews 12, we are enrolled in heaven. Do you need to take a photo of that? Take a quick snapshot of that. That's pretty good, isn't it? And you wake up tomorrow and you begin to say, "Look, that's my name." Some people have short names. Some people have long names. Doesn't matter. It'll be in the book of life if you follow Jesus as Lord. It's a wonderful thing. And of course, Revelation 20, at the end of time, the judgment of God before the great white throne. This is what it says. "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. Oh boy, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Oh boy. That's the last judgment. What it says, Revelation 20. Friends, if you don't believe, And if you're listening online to this, make every effort to get your name in the book of life by following Jesus as Lord. I can't urge you enough to do that. But for all those who've entrusted Jesus as their Lord, been born again of the Spirit, your name is in the book of life. The Holy Spirit has sealed you to the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Did you hear that? He sealed us to the day of redemption. How good is that? These are things we can celebrate, friends. We must continue to devote ourselves to Christ, to be loyal to Him, to be committed to Him in all His glory. And here's the thing. Our joyful dedication to Christ will be rewarded. Our labor is never in vain. Our joyful dedication to Christ will be rewarded. As we think of the joy of the Lord is our strength. As we think of those four things we've just been through tonight. The first one, remember it, knowing Christ's revelation. Knowing the intimacy of our relationship with our Lord, the power of the Lord, and that our name is recorded in the book of life. I want to speak to two areas tonight. The believer and those who are perhaps in the search to find more about Jesus. Can I just speak to those who perhaps are fit into that category of searching for Christ? If you're yet to follow Jesus as Lord, I want to encourage you to really consider dedicating your life to Jesus Christ. And make sure you pursue every avenue to have your name written in the book of life by the blood of Christ. And what He's done on the cross. This is how you do it, friends. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. Amen? That's what He said. You've got to trust His forgiveness for your salvation. He was buried and He rose again on the third day. And there's this beautiful Scripture in Acts 3, I think it is. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And call with your whole heart. And Romans 10 verse 9 says, it's by confessing with your mouth, declaring with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He's my Saviour. He's my Master. And it's by believing in your heart that He was risen from the dead, you will be saved. That's the thing that gets your name in the book. Like Conrad said, if you are in a place where you are thinking, I want to explore more about what it means to follow Jesus, Wednesday nights, thanks Conrad for mentioning that, is about finding Jesus. It is about doing some tracks like Alpha, Christianity Explored, whatever it might be, baptism classes, we do those as well. I encourage you to come, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Or we can pray for you afterwards, talk to us. For those who are believers, there's four things as we relate to the four joys. Revelation, one of the things I think is good is that we pray, Holy Spirit, would you give us a rhema word? Give us a revelation every day in the things of God. As we think about the intimacy of Christ, there's a promise in His word. As we draw close to the Lord, He draws close to us. We believe that? That's a promise. We draw close to Him. Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And I believe that actually refers to seeing the power of the Lord. And so the call is to live a holy life, moral life, and to think about those things. And then finally, to rejoice that our names are written in the book of life, and to rejoice every day to that end. And to remember our joyful dedication in Christ will be rewarded, no doubt about that. What an encouragement, eh, from the Scriptures tonight. And I think there's only one response we should give, and that's a heart of worship tonight. And what I want to do is I just want to pray. I want to invite the team just to come. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to sing a beautiful song as joy in the house of the Lord. You believe that tonight?
Yes.
I want you to get really excited. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
All right, that's good. Why don't we stand? I just want to pray. And commit this time. Lord, we just thank You. And we thank You for the joy of knowing Christ our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we just thank You for dying for our sins and for rising from the dead to give us new life. And we thank You, Lord, the joy it is to serve You in this mission. to serve you in this life, to sacrifice our life for you. And Lord, we rejoice tonight as we've highlighted that in Christ our names are written in the book of life. We rejoice in that. We say thank you again and again. Thanks that you've given us hope in this life and hope in the life to come. And we thank you now as we worship you, we just honor you, and we give you our whole heart tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.